Good morning and welcome to Inside Edge with me, Brian Thomas. Joining me on my podcast this morning on www.goforgold is my co-host, Lucky Pires. Two T20 games were played yesterday in the Super 8 league stage. And the first game was at Ahmedabad between South Africa and the West Indies. And the second in Chennai between Zimbabwe and host India. The two unbeaten teams, both South Africa and West Indies, took the field, and this was envisaged to be a very exciting and a competitive game. But unfortunately, West Indies were off colour. They were put into bat and ultimately made 176 runs for the loss of 8 wickets in their allotted 20 overs. That too because of the 7th wicket partnership of 89 runs between Romario, Shepherd and Jason Holder, because the top order simply collapsed against some excellent bowling dished out by the South Africans, namely Lungi Ngidi, Kalisco Ramada and seamer Corbin Bosch. Let's look at their approach, because in the 6th over, the Caribbean boys were in trouble. They've lost 4 wickets for 52 runs. Come the 10th over, they lost 2 further wickets, so it was 82 on the board for 6. By the 15th over, they were 118 for 7. Then came the miracle of a partnership between Romario Shepherd and Jason Holder that got the Caribbeans to a decent score of 176 for 8 wickets. Romario Shepherd made 58, Jason Holder 49, and Brendan King 21. But the strike rate of Romario Shepherd 141 and Jason Holder 159 looked very, very healthy. Lungi Ngidi 3 for 20, Kagiso Rabada 2 for 22, and South Africa's third seamer Corbin Bosch 2 for 31 was the feature. But sad though that Marco Jansen, their strike bowler, was carted for 50 runs, and spinner Keshav Maharaj was expensive as well. He was carted for 43 runs. The target of 177 had no problem at all. It was a walk in the park for the mighty Proteas, who got there in 16.1 overs, 177 for 1. At the end of the power play, they were 69 without a wicket. And in the 10th over, they were scheduled to win easily because they had just lost only 1 wicket for 109 runs. Aidan Markram, the captain, unbeaten on 82, strike rate of 179. Quinton de Kock made 47, strike rate of 196. And Ryan Rickleton wrapped it all up, making an unbeaten 45 in 28 deliveries. So it was an excellent batting performance, 16.1 overs, mind you. And the Proteas hit the target and remain unbeaten so far in the T20 World Cup 2026. Rostan Chase, the spinner, was the only successful bowler, just managed to grab the wicket of Quinton de Kock, but he was expensive as well. By his standards, he leaked 46 runs. So South Africa win by 9 wickets and are practically assured of a place in the semi-finals. Player of the match was obviously Aidan Markram for his brilliant unbeaten 82. In Chennai, it was a leather hunt though for the Zimbabwe boys. I mean, they won the toss, put India into bat in Chennai, and the Indian batters made hay because it was a fantastic wicket for batting. They made 256 for the loss of 4 wickets in their allotted 20 overs, which is the highest score so far in the T20 World Cup this season. That's 2026. Abhishek Sharma back again with the bat, 55. Ishan Kishan made 38. Suryakumar Yadav 33. Hardik Pandya 50. And Tilak Varma 44. Now I'll run through the strike rate of these players. Abhishek Sharma for his 55. Strike rate of 183. Ishan Kishan for his 38, strike rate of 153. Then again, look at Suryakumar Yadav, the captain. He made 33 in 18 balls, strike rate of 253. And Hardik Pandya, what an all-rounder he has become now for India. He made 50 in just 23 deliveries, a massive strike rate of 217, and Tilak Varma wrapped it all up, made 44 in just 16 deliveries. In fact, India thumped 17 sixers against a hapless Zimbabwe attack. Opener Engrava won for 62, expensive. Musambali won for 43, expensive. And Mapusa, the fresher, won for 40. The only bowler from Zimbabwe who looked impressive was Sikander, who took 1 for 29. Zimbabwe, well, a target of 257. You don't need a rocket scientist to tell you that it's easy against the likes of the Indian seamers and spinners. 184 for 6. So they lose this game by a big margin of 72 runs. Brian Bennett, the opener, unbeaten on 97, looked very impressive. And Sikander, 31, the Zimbabwe captain. Ashdeep Singh, 3 for 24. Varun Chakravarty, 1 for 35. Akshar Patel, 1 for 35. And Shivam Dubey, 1 for 46. It was great to see Sanju Samson back in the Indian team. And also, Akshar Patel being replaced. Akshar Patel replaced Washington Sundar. So that was the change that India had. Look at the points table. In South Africa are leading by 4 points. Run rate of plus 2.896. Assured themselves of a place in the semi-finals. They are the second team to enter the semi-finals, joining the Englishmen from Group B. West Indies 1.796 plus run rate, 2 points. But they need to beat India if they are to get to the semi-finals. And that game coming up, India versus West Indies, is practically a quarter-final. The game coming up today is between England and New Zealand at the R. Premadasa Stadium. Please support cricket. England have already qualified, but if New Zealand does beat England, this is going to be a very interesting equation, because Pakistan will get to the fold and they will have an opportunity to qualify for the semi-finals. They are playing against a weak link, a Sri Lankan team, at Palekele tomorrow, because obviously Pakistan are favourites. But if New Zealand win, they will have to beat Sri Lanka comprehensively by a big margin, which they are capable of. Finally, I'll wrap it up with some rugby news. The school's President's Trophy Rugby, which is going to be very interesting, is coming up in the month of March. Thank you very much indeed, Shane Dullava, for sending me the schedule. But the first game is on the 11th of March between Trinity College Kandy, the prestigious institution, playing against Thurston. But there is a bit of a debate as far as the jersey colours are concerned. Remember, Trinity, traditionally the red, gold and blue, they have this jersey from the time they started rugby way back in 1914. But Thurston have similar colours, and their jerseys look very similar. And there is a talk that's going around that both teams will not want to change their jerseys. If that happens, the referees are going to have a problem identifying the players during the run of play. So there is no doubt that the organisers, that's the Sri Lanka Schools Rugby Football Union, need to have a sit down and negotiate and make the referee's life easy. Because if the referee starts having problems identifying the jerseys, then not only the game gets into a problem, but also the referees get a low rating and are accused. So I hope they'll sort out this problem soon. Well, that's it from me and Lakhit Piris on our podcast this morning. Sit back, relax. I'll spin you a record to ease your pressure and for your listening pleasure as well.